Welcome to the Prosperity Podcast, fresh, alternative personal finance talk for independent thinkers who prosper outside of Wall Street. Here's your host, best-selling author, Kim D.H. Butler.
Hello, podcast listeners. Welcome to the Prosperity Podcast with your host, Kim Butler. Are you there with us?
Absolutely.
In our previous episode, we were talking about term insurance. And Kim shared some insights about finding the right term insurance and also finding the amount of time of that insurance. We're going to dive a little bit deeper and we're going to talk about the different types of policies. And one of the questions is getting a big policy or several small policies. So Kim, can you give us some insight on this?
Yes, and I'm actually going to do it both ways, both with whole life and with term insurance. So we'll do whole life first. Typically speaking, you want to get only as big of a policy on whole life as you can handle from a cash flow standpoint. So for a younger person, that might mean a smaller policy. It's also relative. It's kind of hard. So let me just maybe give numerical examples. So let's say that you're going to buy one policy and you have $10,000 a year, whatever the death benefit is. So let's just say it's $100,000. Whatever the death benefit is, that's the policy that you want to buy, and it's based on cash flow. Cash flow determines how much whole life insurance you buy. And the reason that somebody like myself has 20 plus policies is that when I was 24, I bought one policy and then I earned more money as I got older. So when I was 26, I bought another policy and then another one and another one and another one as I got older and older and older and earned more and more and more money. However, if you're starting out and you're, say, 50 or 60, you're, in theory, going to have a little more cash flow. You might also have assets that we can use to produce cash flow. And so you might only buy, over the course of your life, two or three or four policies just because you started later. Now, let's take a different case, if you will, a different set of facts, and say that you have someone that has quite a bit of cash flow and they're starting, they've got a nice net worth, but they're brand new to this whole life thing, then they're going to buy, let's say their human life value is $5 million and they're going to buy $3 million of whole life. Well, in that situation, I would actually recommend that they take the $3 million of whole life and instead of getting it in one policy, that they get it in three policies. So my reasoning for this is twofold. One, I want to have those policies have different dates. So many people are aware you can actually backdate policies up to 6 months. So I would backdate one policy 6 months, I would backdate another policy 3 months, and then I would current date one policy. Now, somebody could say to me, oh my gosh, that means I have this extra $50 policy fee for my second and third policy. Yes, it does. And yet the value is that you get different dates so that going forward, you have different times of the year when your premium and your paid up addition opportunity comes due. And then furthermore, if something does go haywire in your life financially, you can cancel one policy or shrink one policy or two of them without having to scrap the whole thing. And so splitting up a quote bigger policy is helpful. Now, if your total policy is maybe 1 million, I probably wouldn't bother. But if you get into those 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 million dollar numbers, then it's valuable to split them up and it's beneficial to pay the extra policy fee to get the flexibility of the different dates, as well as the adjustability of more than one policy. Did that make sense so far?
That does make sense. So it's about the flexibility. It's giving a little bit of more control.
Absolutely. So then if we switch the discussion to term insurance and we talk about, do we have one big policy for our term insurance or smaller ones? because of the ability for conversion, which we talked about on the last episode, we want to probably have, again, two or three term policies. So like I gave the earlier example of, let's say we have $1 million of convertible term, and then we have 400,000 of not convertible term or cheap term on the web. So that's obviously going to be two policies. And yes, again, we have probably for term insurance, the policy fees more in the $20, $30 range. Not really worth worrying about in the big picture. Again, flexibility and control are way more important than a $30 policy fee. So again, if we have a quote larger case, you know, somebody comes in, let's say they're getting $10 million of term insurance, I'm probably going to split that up as well. Now, dates don't matter as much on term insurance. And there are band breaks, kind of like volume discounts, if you will. They are at $1 million and sometimes at $5 million and at $10 million. So we'd have to take a look at that, and it might behoove somebody to get one single policy, but there, again, could be some reason. You know, let's say a bank requires term insurance for, say, 5 years, and so you might get one policy for the bank and then one to have for yourself. Not that you couldn't solve that with one policy by just beneficiary designations and whatnot, but sometimes it's just a little easier for people to think about and keep track of. And, oh, I know for sure when this bank loan goes away, I'm going to cancel this policy, et cetera. So that can also be a reason for numerous policies. But it is funny to me how shocked some people are by the fact that you would have more than one policy. It's also funny to me when somebody says, oh my gosh, you know, I heard so-and-so's husband die and he had three life insurance policies. Well, that means nothing. I mean, it could be 300,000, whereas he could have one policy that was worth $1 million. So it's funny how people's perception on this gets a little out of whack. But as a general rule of thumb, having more policies just means more flexibility, more capability. And it's absolutely something that we look at when we're designing somebody's set of policies because of, again, the flexibility and the control.
The only downside that I see by having multiple policies is that it requires you to plan ahead and to be a little bit more organized. So what advice can you give to our listeners so that they can make sure that they're always on top of that?
So really, you want to make sure that you're just keeping an eye on the human life value. So as your income is going up, that your amount of life insurance is going up. And you don't need to be overly ridiculous on this, but you know, every year or two or three, take a look at it. I will admit that I keep track of all my policies on an Excel spreadsheet. And if anybody wants that, they're welcome to it. It's not like it was that difficult to set up. I'll actually give our listeners a sneak peek. In about another month, we're going to have a new online portal that will enable people to have a look at their policies in a really unique way. So I'm looking forward to that. But it'll only be available for people that choose to go through our full pathway process. So we can talk about that on another podcast. But it is interesting to me that the typical ways of keeping track of policies, like you keep track of other accounts like mint.com or You Need a Budget or, you know, some of the other personal finance sites out there, they do a horrible job of keeping track of life insurance. I mean, they just give you no space to put enough policies in. They give you no distinction between whole life and term. And they just, in general, clearly do not understand how life insurance works as the foundation of people's personal finances. But of course, our new portal will. So that'll be kind of fun when we get there.
You said that you manage your policies with an Excel spreadsheet. Are there any other tips that a person can do to make sure that they stay on top of all of the different policies? Because they could be at different times of the year.
Yeah. So you just want to set it up in your budgeting system, if you will. I have a bookkeeper, so she handles all of that. We'll have to do a podcast sometime about Carrie because it's just so amazing the good work that she does. But you know, you should probably be paying your car insurance every 6 months, not monthly, if you have good cash flow because it's less expensive. And you should be paying your life insurance annually if you have good cash flow. Not everybody can. I mean, good heavens, I don't pay all of mine annually. I pay some of them monthly because I don't have that enough cash flow to handle them all annually either. But if they're monthly, they just get set up on an automatic debit and it's pretty easy. If it's annually, you should probably have some kind of prosperity flow through account or some type of account where you're depositing monthly amounts so that when that annual bill comes around, which is both for the premium and the paid up edition rider, you're not surprised by it and you've got the money and you're ready to go. Because again, paying annually is going to save you a little bit of money. Most life insurance companies charge between 6 and 8% for paying monthly. And it's an actual cost. So there's no point in paying that if you've got the cash to pay it annually.
That makes total sense. Now, I want to echo again how there are no surprises. And by focusing on that cash flow, you can determine the amount of whole or term. Really insightful, Kim. How can our listeners get more information and ask you questions?
Well, I would love to entertain questions on our special email, which is hello@partners4prosperity.com. And if people have questions, I'm happy to email answers. And also, obviously, sometimes we'll cover them on the podcast for everybody to benefit from. So again, that's hello@partners4prosperity.com.
Kim, thanks for sharing this insight with us today and helping us understand a little bit more about the different types of policies out there.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Prosperity Podcast. To take control of your money and have it work for you, visit us at partners4prosperity.com. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review.